is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning to the remnant, and that old wheel, this week it has rolled around again, and we welcome you here to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we've got a house full this morning, and we'll bring them in on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim from Nebraska. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us, and of course, good morning to the Ramrod. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. Beautiful day here, beautiful day across the country. And we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit, but we will open up with a word of prayer. And John, we'll look to you for that.
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we acknowledge that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we love you, Lord, and our desire is to serve you and to come to that place of complete obedience where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And Father, we know to do that we need your helper, Lord. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. And Father, we know that we receive the Holy Spirit when we are obedient in immersion baptism, when we go into that watery grave, we die to our old life. We're born again of the water and the Spirit. We're clothed with you. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and our names are entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I thank you for the highlight of my week, the highlight of Independence Day, Lord, that I was able to baptize a 72-year-old man that I've been working on with the truth for couple of years now, and also a cousin, 37-year-old cousin, and to give you all the praise and all the glory for that, Lord. I thank you that you've allowed me to reside on a body of water over these years, Lord, whether it be a pool or a lake. And I know that that's your hand, and Father, I say, here I am, use me. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? Father, I ask, just as Hebrews 1:14 says, that you would send your ministering angels out there, Lord, and that you would prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive these truths. Because, Father, there was a man who led this ministry for many years, 33-plus years, whose desire was to share the truth of baptism, to show that how it was stolen, primarily from the Catholic Church, that converted immersion baptism into sprinkling under the guise of making it more convenient. Father, that's what this ministry is about, the truth of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and also the truth of baptism. The Bible is clear that unless you are born again of the water and the Spirit, you shall not inherit the kingdom. So, Father, we ask that we would be able to continue to go forward and proclaim your word and the truth, and that you would bring those who need to learn, need to understand the importance of baptism. And Father, as it's today is the day that's 7 days from the, or 7 years from the day that you called our pastor home, Father, we know that he did not die. He was not called home a day earlier than what you had planned, because no one can alter what it is that you have planned, and no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels, not the Son, but only the Father. Father, help us to realize that and to live our lives that way. Guide and direct us this morning, Lord. Give us wisdom and understanding as to what it is that's important to your people. Father, we do thank you for our pastor and the time that you gave us with him. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve these past 7 years, and I've already asked you to forgive me for my own decisions and my own time frames that I set. It appears that you're not done with me, Lord, and you're not done with this ministry, and our desire is to continue to serve you and proclaim the truth any every which way that we can. And we know that that's only possible through the provisions of your people, the faithful remnant, through their prayers and their tithes and free will offerings. So we thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And again, Lord, we just love you and desire to do your work and your will on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open today, 307-745-5913. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this July 7th, 2018. So if you have a comment or a question you'd like to call in, we'll have the phone lines open. And it is hard to believe. It's been 7 years since our pastor was called home. And but we continue on here. In the spirit that Pastor intended, I think, for the ministry to continue on, to continue to grow, to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ out across the world, across this country, in print as well as on the shortwave and the internet, and send it to your phone. I know we have many people listening in on the phone number you can call, and so the message still goes out. The message of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, kingdom thinking, and as you mentioned, John, repentance, proper immersion baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, and Christian living, you know, being that light in this dark world, and so we continue to do that. Guys, got the phone ringing. Let's try that this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Nan in Arizona.
Hi, good morning, Nan.
Good morning. God bless you all, and I look forward to the next 7 years of beautiful, consecrated, prayerful work. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
I have a request for prayer for a young man whom I heard about on the radio in Connecticut. He was convicted to go to jail for defending himself when he was attacked by three men in his place of work, a young man at a Dunkin' Donut shop, if I have the facts right. But Connecticut has a law that you are required to retreat and not allowed to defend yourself. And I want God's justice and protection for this young man.
Well, we'll sure do it. We sure will.
Thank you so very much. God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am. Folks, it's that easy to call in, 307-745-5913. So, well, Jason, if you were able to hear, would you offer up a prayer for that young man that just defended himself?
Yeah, I couldn't understand what she was saying.
I guess there was a young man then, or go ahead, John.
Well, Heavenly Father, you heard the request, Lord. There's a young man in Connecticut, and Father, their laws there are not your laws. They've become man's laws, and they're unjust, Father. And the fact that they pass a law that you can't defend yourself, that you're to run and flee from any conflict, is ungodly and against your teachings. So, Father, we lift this young man up for justice, Lord. We ask even now that you confound the judges in the courts, Lord, that you would send confusion into their camp, and that they would put him before a jury, Lord, of your peers, those who know you and understand your laws and your holy Bible. And Father, that this man would be acquitted and released. And Father, put the fear of God in those that would dare make laws that contradict your laws, Father. It's happening more and more all across the country. Father, we know that even now, those wicked ones are gnashing their teeth, and they're boldly proclaiming that there should be violence done against anyone who basically follows you, who's a Christian, who believes in liberty, just as your word says. Well, Father, we ask that you would just send confusion into their camp, Father, that they would fall in the pits that they dig and that they would be ensnared in the traps that they lay. But Lord, we ask for wisdom, discernment, Father, that we would not tip our hand or show our cards before our time. Father, that we would endure what you would have us endure, but when the time comes, we would be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Yeah, you can see there's a civil war brewing right now. In fact, it's already started in a lot of places. I read an article this morning of 130 occurrences against people who wore Make America Great shirt or hats.
Yes.
Either having food thrown at them or drinks splashed on them or punched in the face. So it's already begun.
It has.
Yeah, there was one video that's been surfacing this week, and there was a 16-year-old kid sitting down at a restaurant, and somebody sees his hat and just goes belligerent and walks over to him, grabs his hat, picks up the kid's drink, and throws the drink in the kid's face, and then turns around and walks out of the place with his hat. Levi told me that the guy ended up getting caught and get arrested for theft and vandalism.
It's assault.
Bond and was released. But, you know, I mean, the thing is that's one of a few. You know, and you're talking with, you know, somebody that walks up to a 16-year-old kid and does something like this. And this guy was, you know, he was in his mid to late 30s. And I mean, talk about childish. As you see what they're doing, you know, they're turning around and, you know, they like to use their punch words. They call us racist. They call us bigots. They call us homophobes. They call us haters. They call us, you know, all this kind of stuff. And you look at where the hatred and where the bigotry and where all this stuff is coming from. It's the other side, you know. And it's just, you know, just like that scripture does. Is, you know, they strike you and they cry out why they're striking you. It's, you know, they blame us for what they're doing. And it's becoming so evident. And as you look through some of these news articles.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to find the quote, maybe you can, Tim, of that Maxine Waters, what she, that psychotic congresswoman, whatever she is, what she's
called. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, calling for violence.
Yeah,
calling for violence.
She basically said that no matter where people are or whatever, they need to mob people and throw them out and put them out and go after them. You know, she said, here's the quote, I found it. If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. You push back on them. Tell them they're not welcome anymore anywhere, end quote, Waters said.
And that was to a cheering crowd in Los Angeles that she was given, that speech was given at.
Right.
Yeah, I keep reading others. I think she gets even more.
She does. That's just all I had up here at the moment, and I was trying. But basically, yeah, she basically was advocating for physical altercations, you know. And the underlying response would be that those kind of things escalate, you know, physical attacks there's this whole move out there with a lot of Christians, and they want to just turn the other cheek or, you know, look the other way. And we have a mandate from our Heavenly Father, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. There's a lot of different levels of law, and it's not, the law is fixed, but the fact of the matter is the turn the other cheek thing is when you're dealing with personal enemies or brothers, stuff like that, and it's good advice. But when someone's seeking to steal, kill, or destroy you, that's not a very good operational mandate, you know, as far as you know, just turning the other cheek and looking the other way. Keep your eyes on the ball, and you push back. And I think that that business with that 16-year-old kid shows a lot of their kind of jelly backing, because you go in and pick on a 16-year-old kid, throw a drink in his face, steal his cap, and attack him. They didn't pick a big tough guy to go do that on or anything like that. So that's the kind of people that we're dealing with there. And Maxine, she's out there sending people out to go do her dirty work. I like what Trump said when he said, well, you should keep her as one of the voices of the Democrat Party, because she's people who have eyes to see and ears to hear realize what's going on, just like we're talking about here today with them. I mean, the retreat. Well, we've pretty soon there's no place left to retreat, you know, and I think that God's people we're at that Red Sea moment these days. I mean, as far as we've talked about the Red Sea moment, before they had their backs, they had the Egyptians coming in from one direction, and they were up against the Red Sea. And God made a way.
Amen.
So.
Yeah, you know, do you think about that? We've got children. I mean, imagine, you know, John, your 16-year-old or my 16-year-old, out there working. It's summertime, working and stop and get a bite on the way home, and this happening. You know, that guy is lucky to really be alive. I mean, it is that law of God that is written on our hearts that, you know, we are to protect, provide for our own. And Tim, I like how you said that. You know, that turn the other cheek, you know, that doesn't apply when there's an enemy coming at you. When an enemy's coming against your children, you just say, well, I hope that's all he does is throw a drink in the kid's face. You know, what if he pulls a gun out and starts shooting up, or a baseball bat or a knife? You know, where does that end? And it is, the line is being drawn. The distinction is being made. And, you know, all the sheep are not, they're not sheep all the time. And they're not just harmless as doves all the time. There's a time to be that way. But then there's a time to, you know, to rise up as lions as well. And I think that time's coming. Just to defend yourself, that time is coming. To defend yourself and your family. Had a story I saw in the news this week about a mom down in Texas. Has her two boys in the back seat. Pulls up to the gas station and she fills up her car and takes a step over to the booth to pay for her gas. And some carjacking thug jumps in her car and starts to drive away. She runs and jumps in the back seat with her boys, screaming at the guy, "Get out, get out, get out." "Nope, nope, nope, he's not going to." So she leans up, reaches across the middle seats, opens her glove compartment, pulls out her pistol, tells him one more time, and he still says no, so she shoots him point blank in the face. And good job, mom. And so, didn't kill the guy. He's at the hospital. But
that's not good. Lawsuit.
Well, the other thing was, I think it was a colored family involved. The mom and the children were colored, and I think the carjacker was colored as well. And so, but you don't, you know, most people can tell you what Stormy Waters had for breakfast yesterday morning. Because that's what's reported on the news, the mainstream media. But you don't hear about the crime. You don't hear about the proper use of firearms and the defense of families, because it doesn't certainly it doesn't fit the leftist antichrist agenda. But those things happen time and time again. And
Exodus 22 says, if a thief is caught breaking in and struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. But if it happens after sunrise, he is guilty of bloodshed. So I don't know what that means, but I'll stick with the first part of it.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, that there's proper use of force, certainly. But it needs to be from that biblical standard, you know, and not the and not a man standard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 1 Chronicles 21:5 says, Joab reported the number of fighting men to David. In all of Israel, there were 1,100,000 men who could handle the sword, including 470,000 in Judah. But Joab did not include Levi and Benjamin numbering. So, yeah, that's the thing that these liberals need to understand is, for the most part, the conservative white Christian male has the equivalent of today's sword and knows how to use it. So it's a losing proposition for them when it comes to that point.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, and it was,
we've got God. We've got God on our side, too. And
yeah,
that's the,
you can look through the whole Bible, and you won't find a Bible verse that specifically tells you that you can't defend yourself against
right.
bodily injury.
Right.
No,
it's not there. There
no.
is none.
No. And you know, John, you talk about the people having firearms. It was like that back in World War II. At the beginning of World War II, that quote came, or there was a quote from a Japanese general about not invading the West Coast. And the reason that they didn't, the reason he gave was, he said that there'd be a gun behind every blade of grass. Because they knew. They knew that even then, back in the late 30s and early 40s, that people enjoyed firearms. and that they would be used against an invading force. And so I think, like you said, those liberals have forgotten about that. And but they are the ones drawing the lines. They are the ones doing things like, could you imagine if this quote that you read, Tim, from Maxine Waters, if President Trump had said that very same thing, hey, you need to go out, you need to cause a scene, you need to confront people, you need to not take it anymore, in before a crowd, they would right. they would have crucified him. You know, I mean, it's just the double standard that is becoming so evident. And it's not coming from those people you're talking about, John, the law-abiding, you know, right-wing, the Christian right. It's not coming from them. They are, I think, as much as possible, trying to live peaceably with all men. And, you know, trying to live and let live and do those things. But, you know, what is it that we've talked about it in the past. What is it that Jezebel, there's only one thing that Jezebel spirit understands, and that's no. And anything short of that, it's anything goes. And for that left, for that Antichrist party, it's anything goes right now, as much as possible. And they push and they push and they push. But you can only push so far.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I like Psalms 18:30. I was thinking about some of those things, and we were talking about different ways of defending yourself. And as for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. And shields are defensive and offensive. You know, I mean, you can strike with a shield, not only defend yourself. I mean, we were commanded to own weapons, you know, in the Bible. I'm sure that the purpose of that wasn't just to hang them on the wall. You know, when the ear was cut off of the guard and came to take Christ, God just said that the timing wasn't right, not that there wasn't a time, but that, you know, those things. So defense exists. I mean, and Maxine Waters, in that statement, or in that statement when she was talking, actually used the word battle, you know. And then, of course, in the next breath, she's like, well, and I don't mean that there should be any violence. But, you know, it's pretty hard to push somebody out of any place and anywhere where she says there's no room for them, make sure there's no room for them any place or anywhere. That sounds like violence. I mean, that almost sounds like a ceasing to exist kind of moment type thing. You know, I mean, they don't.
You know, it's what they're doing in South Africa. They're telling them the same thing: push the white farmer out. They're saying this. They're telling them the exact same thing, and the government supports it: push the white farmer out, kill him, run him off the land, whatever you have to do. We don't care. Push him out. Push him out. And then we hear, you see that going on. We've talked about that a little bit, but that genocide is still occurring in South Africa because that's what the government tells them to do. Push them out. Push them out. It's yours. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to live the way they say. You go do what you want to do. Push them out. And we're hearing Maxine Waters say the exact same thing here in the United States. And the sheep go, bah. Hey, buddy. Hey, Bill, did you hear Budweiser's on sale this week? And that's, you know, you got to wake up, people. It's time to wake up. And I know the remnant that are listening have awakened to this, have woken up. We got to wake up our friends and neighbors. We've got to get them. We've got to pray for them and get them to awake to this and to see what this is.
Yeah, I got an example of that. Actually, we had some people over on Independence Day from kids' school and stuff, and I live right across from a state park, and I'll tell you what, you talk about a state that's been overrun. It hasn't been widely reported, but this state. It may not be with Somalians and whatever else, but man, this state is overrun with Mexicans. And the state park was totally full by about 1 o'clock. Cars lined up for literally a mile down the road trying to get in. And next thing you know, one of my friends was alerting me that, hey, man, you got people just pulling across the grass right off the road and parking in your yard and then walking across to the lake. And I'm like, what? So I go over there, and unfortunately there was probably five or six that had already parked and walked over, but there's 15 more cars with all full of Mexicans getting out like they were going to park there. And I said, no, you get out of here. This is private property. And I'll tell you what, they look at you evil.
Yes.
Like, who are you, white boy, to tell me that I can't park here? And fortunately, I know that there was some CCW that was backing me up. But, yeah, I mean, that's really where we are. We have to be alert and ready at all times. I mean, it never was like that. It wasn't like that 5 years ago. The fact that, you know, people understood that some people worked harder than others, some people were blessed more than others, things like that. And they may have coveted it, which is obviously a sin, but for the most part, they didn't take action against those who had more than others. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I mean, I've noticed in my wife and I were talking about this the other day, but I've noticed in Walmart, we have, there's a lot of them around here too, and there's a lot of the older Mexicans that are just really nice people. I mean, you know, they're I don't know the right words, respectful. They talk to you. But some of the younger ones, boy, they just give you that evil eye over everything. You know, you're in there. They push by you. They shove people around. They act like you don't belong there, you know, and it's like we see that. I think one of the things that Pastor said years ago that was it's just always stuck with me was the fact that any landmass or country, in quote, without a border isn't a country. I mean, you can't right. just have things come and go, you know, and that's why this issue over illegal immigration and over these illegal immigrants is such a big deal. I mean, it's you cannot continue to exist as a people or as a independent country or as a group of people with ideals and with laws and everything else with an open border because they don't care. They come, they go, that's what they call nomadic existence. And nomads operate under different principles than people who, hold land and are land owners and create order out of chaos right. and better the places that they are. So we see all that around us, and it all figures into that whole picture.
Yeah, it's like last time I went to Lake McConaughey. I don't think I'll go again, but we went there, and it's. We call it the poor man's Caribbean because it's 110 miles of white sand beach and used to be just a great escape, you know, 3 hours,
oh, yeah.
2.5, 3 hours
yes.
away. And last time we went, I'll tell you what, it was like being in a third world country, and I ain't kidding because
mm-hmm.
we stayed, had the camper and stayed in the RV, you know, in the state park, and you go into the bathrooms and there's signs in there, don't throw the toilet paper on the floor, and it's all over the floor, and please don't steal the toilet paper, you know, because they steal the toilet paper and then they take it out to their huts. But you start driving, you know, taking a boat down the water on the beaches, and you see these plywood shacks and these tarps and things set up all over the place. And it just never was like that. And it's sad because, like you said, in a lot of ways, they're not a civilized people. And it's interesting, too, you won't see the media ever report on it, but the Hispanics who are here, who have been here for many years, you know, a lot of Texans, things like that, for the most part, those people are like you say, respectful and hardworking. They don't want these illegal aliens here either. And but you won't hear that from the media. I thought it was interesting that Europe's woken up. You know, Hungary has quite a while ago. They built their own fence. They used their prisoners to put up two rows of fence, and they've done a pretty good job of keeping the asylum seekers, whatever you want to call them, out of their country. But there's several other countries now that are starting to wake up and see the thing, including Germany. And I didn't hear what the final deal was with Merkel or whatever her name was to if they ousted her. I know they didn't oust her yet, but I thought there was supposed to be some kind of repercussions there. But you look, follow the money. You know, the money leads to George Soros and the fact that they're bringing in hundreds of thousands of, mainly Africans, I think, are getting brought over to Europe. But they know that they can pollute that bloodline and change the history of a culture for, you know, forever.
Yep. Well, and like Jason and I brought that out, you know, it's asymmetric warfare. I mean, it's not warfare along the normal thinking, but it brings about violent and disruptive change, you know, and they move those groups in. And one of the other things that astounds me to this day is if you look at the statistics of the people that they're bringing into these countries, the majority of them are men. I mean, there's no women there. I mean, it's like, or, you know, you're talking 2% or less. I mean, it, of all these thousands and thousands that are coming in, I was watching a YouTube video in, I think that was over in England, and there was a tent city set up out there, and they were spilling out across the, I don't know if you call it an interstate or what over there, but it was a divided highway that, you know, and they were stopping traffic and causing problems, and the guy shot this tent city that was down along the interstate there that was all, whatever they are, like you said, asylum seekers or whatever, and they were Muslim, but there was no women there. He said, yeah, and that was one of the things he brought up. You never see any women. They're all men. You know, there's no women there. So, which is another, you know, another interesting thing as far as...
and you look at the age of them, too. You know, they're all...
Oh, that's true.
You know, it's all like what you would expect in the military. I mean, it's all guys that are in between there. 18 and 25.
Yep. It's why can't they stay in their own country and work and create things and make it better and do those type things there, and it's because that's not their intent. That's not what's on their heart. That's not what's in their DNA. What's in theirs is, I like how you mentioned it, Tim, they're nomads. They're not settlers. They're nomads. They go and they take and they consume. And then they just move on. They're like, what did I read about locusts? How many times have we talked about that? That's what they are. They just move through and consume, you know, and destroy. It's what they do.
Well, they're getting paid, too. That's the thing we miss. You know, nobody ever points out, but these people, when they're getting off of these boats and these trains... They're not dressed in rags. They're dressed in
nice clothes.
Yeah.
They got nice sweatshirts. They got nice jeans. They got nice clothes. And they don't have those from their country.
No.
They're giving them all of this stuff before they even get here. So.
Yeah, and most of them drive nicer cars than I do. You know, I mean, so.
Well, and talking about going back to the Mexican thing that you were talking about, too, John, was... you know, I don't know a lot about this MS-13 gang, but I know that you know, originally it started in Los Angeles from migrants, and it started in the 80s. And, you know, they've been coming out, and they've been saying that it's the fastest-growing street gang that has members worldwide. And I think their numbers have got to be off because, I mean, they're saying, you know, one of the reports had 30,000 worldwide. I've also seen it that it was 300,000 worldwide. So, I mean... we have no idea how many of them are out there. But they've come through. They came through LaPorte twice. They've come through Fort Collins, and I guess there's supposed to be a big group of them down in Loveland, from Fort Collins all the way to Denver. And you know, basically their motto is kill, steal, rape, and control. And there's no ands and buts about it. I mean, that's what they want to do. I mean, they've made it clear what they want to do. But you know, for them, I mean, even coming into town, I was talking with some guys that were here in town, and you know, the police are telling people, okay, well, if you run into them, you know, you just be kind to them, and you just, you know, don't say anything to them, don't look them at the eye, be respectful, this and that, because you know, you don't want to give them any reason to, you know, to come back and to harm you or your family. Okay, well, that's fine and dandy, but I mean, why don't they just run them out? You know, get rid of them. I mean, that's what they used to do with gangs that came into town, is you ran them out of town.
That's right.
You made sure that they knew that they weren't welcome there, and if they came back, absolutely, you hung them, you killed them. I mean, you did whatever you had to do.
Amen.
You know, you talk about, you know, castration of a country, of a nation, and, you know, I mean, you're going to let these thugs run around, and that's what they are, is thugs. I mean, and it's important. I mean, yeah, and I'm not saying that that's for everybody, but at the same time, there's a time to make a stand. I mean, we just had the 4th of July, and, you know, one of the things that, one of the quotes that I had written down here that I thought was pretty important, and it was by John Quincy Adams, and he was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and he said, posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedoms. I hope you will make good use of it. And, you know, you look at what has happened, the price, sometimes people stop and they think, oh, well, I'm going to have to pay a price for this, or I'm going to have to pay a price for that, and, you know, how are people going to look at me, and it might cost me some money to do this or that. You know, I encourage people to look at what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. You know, five of the signers were captured by the British traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. Several of them had their wives thrown in prison and tortured for years before letting them go, and that was right before death. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And I really encourage people to, you know, Declaration of Independence, the signing of that, July 4, 1776, is, you know, that is our Independence Day. And I believe, and I had a good talk with my children. We went down to the Veterans Hospital and saw a bunch of the vets on the 4th of July on that evening, just because, you know, there was nobody there. It was, everybody was out having their fireworks and their party, and you know, we did some of that too, and we had a good time. But, you know, this is one of the most biblical holidays that we celebrate in America today. The 4th of July, and that is the true a nation born in a day, right there. You know, the Bible prophecy being fulfilled. So I posted up this week on the Newswire several times, you know, what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. I encourage people to go there and read it. It's very powerful. And, you know, think about the price that, you know, our forefathers paid to give us the liberties that that we're seeing struck from our hands and taken from us on a regular basis right now, and encourage people to stand up and take a stand on some of this stuff.
Yeah, amen. That's excellent point. That's a good video clip of someone who, you know, walking the streets and talking to these youth and asking them, what's the 4th of July? What's it stand for, you know? And none of them could even tell what it was for.
I think that's, I right, saw the same video.
Yeah, right.
Well, isn't that when they light off fireworks?
Yeah. Well, that's part of that. That's thank you, public fool system.
Thing is, there's a movie, and it was actually a Walt Disney movie called Johnny Tremaine. Now, it's not 100% accurate. So I don't want to, you know, say that it's the gospel truth. But I'll tell you what, that was a movie that I watched when I was a child. It is one of the best movies for children that talks about, you know, has the Boston Tea Party in it, and talks about why they did so much of the things and how we ended up in the war. And it's a very, very good movie. I mean, you don't have to be a child to watch it. I watched it with the children on the 4th of July, and, you know, everybody loved it, and you know, really good movie. It's on Netflix, it's on Amazon, it's on you know, you can still find it quite a few different places. but it's called Johnny Tremaine. It's a Walt Disney production. I'm not even sure when it was produced, but it's got to be old because it's nothing like anything they put out now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It's back, early 60s when it was put out. But it does. It's got some historical truths in it. It really does. And it lets you see that, you know, how important biblical law was in keeping the Sabbath. I'll just say that. I won't spoil it for you, but just in keeping the Sabbath and how important that was and how big a part that was of life there in the colonies. And it is. It's been totally, you know, our history's been rewritten. And that's why, that is why. And so, because they don't want this generation to understand the price that was paid, for their freedom. They don't want them to understand that this country was that nation born in a day. And they don't want them patriotic. They want it where, no, don't fly the American flag, because that might offend somebody. You know, don't remember that. It's just what we say now. You know, we talked about it, I think, last week. But, you know, the rewriting of history, the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, the Little House on the Prairie books, are now deemed racist. So they're being pulled. And so we see that. It is a continuation of what the enemy does. They are rewriting our history. And this generation here, I mentioned it before. My son was took a history class at the local community college, and in the textbook, it said yes, the Pilgrims did have a starving winter early in their settlement, but due to strict military discipline, they were able to get through the winter and survive. And that was it. That was the two sentences about the Pilgrims. And the starving winter they had. Nothing about, you know, that the country was founded, the Mayflower Compact, to further the Christian faith, and it was to the glory of God. Nothing about that. Nothing about that the Pilgrims got through their starving winter because of the prayer and fasting that they did. Nothing about that. So you have a whole generation, and not just the generation like my son that's reading this in his textbook, but the instructors, the previous generation as well. That's what they read in the textbook. That's what they teach. That's what they were taught. And it's just not so. It is just not so.
Yeah, it's already known that the left and the Antichrist would like nothing more than to remove 4th of July and Independence Day from the face of the earth.
Well, Facebook just, you know, Facebook deemed that quote out of the
Bill of Rights
Declaration of Independence as hate speech. Did you hear about that? Of course, then later
they
apologized. But you know, I'd kind of like to tie together that MS-13 gang thing that Jason was talking about and some of this other stuff that we were talking about. One of the interesting things to me, I just read here the other day, is there's this huge uptick of gangs in the U.S. military. In 2008, the FBI gang investigation unit, and it was Jennifer Simon who wrote that 1-2% of the U.S. military branches had gang members in there. And that was, at that time, that's 50 to 100 times higher than the rate of general population of gang members in the United States. And it's gotten much worse since 2008. They figure that it could be as much as 8 to 10% today of these. And I don't think they really isolated it as necessarily MS-13, but MS-13 was listed in there as well as several of these other what do we want to call them, offshore or out-of-country gangs coming in and getting into our military. And, you know, it's a big deal. I mean, there was...
I've heard that even some of that military stuff, that it is an MS-13 in the military also.
That it is? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're listed in the list, so... Yeah,
it's nice that Minnesota's finally waking up to the Somalian invasion, and there's some people running for office now that are really boldly proclaiming that enough's enough, no more. And and the people are siding with those. So there's been a lot of wakening up, that's for sure.
Praise the Lord.
I guess the one good thing the abomination did was wake up a lot of people. But the scary thought is, when you look at how history repeats itself, I think that's why I've been harping so much on we cannot fall asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel again.
Amen.
And the biggest thing we have to do is to continue to pray. We have to continue to pray for wisdom and discernment for our president and those who are, and protection for those who are in their families, for those who are standing up for the truth and standing up for righteousness. And it was a little bit disheartening to hear that the head of the EPA stepped down based on basically all the pressure against his family and himself and threats and everything else. So, you know, and of course the left is Antichrist left is celebrating that and you know, boldly proclaiming that we got one of them, you know. So I don't think it was the right decision. I think they should have just figured out another way to push back harder. I mean, remember Sean Connery in one of the, forget what movie it was, but says, you know, they bring a knife, you bring a gun.
Whatever. Amen.
They send one of yours to the hospital, you send one of theirs to the morgue.
Yeah, that was in the quotes from the old Untouchables. I remember that. But it was real. But that was, see, that was back in the 30s. That was back when men were men. They had the balls and the guts to be men. And they were. You know, the, like you mentioned the prayer, John, a couple quick scriptures here on that. Yeah, Ephesians 6:18 tells us, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, what do you think that means? I think that means pray at all times in the Spirit, just like it says. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And we have to be that way. We have to. You mean I have to be? How do I pray at all times in the Spirit? You have the Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit upon you, like you mentioned earlier, John, from repentance and immersion baptism for the remission of sin. And you do that, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that you can obey this command from our King, from our leader, from our Lord and Savior, from our Commander in Chief. On how to fight this war. At least one part of it. This isn't all of it. That isn't all we do. We don't just stay in our prayer closets and just pray and petition all the time. No, it says be on the alert. How? You know, to be on the alert, you have to be on patrol. You have to be the watchman. You have to be watching and having eyes and discerning and discerning things spiritually and then warning and being on the alert. With all perseverance, that means continuing on. That means persevering. That means, you mean I got to do it again tomorrow? Yeah, we do it again tomorrow, just like we did today, just like we did yesterday. We continue on, watching and warning, alerting and praying. Being on the alert and praying. And then one more, 1 Timothy 2. I encourage you to read that. It says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So yes, we are to pray for our leaders, our mayors, our city councilmen. You can pray, hey, if they can repent, let them repent. If they're flagrantly living in sin. But pray that. But pray for the Holy Spirit to guide them. Pray that they may not know why they vote in a better way, in a more righteous way. But pray that they do. And you bring that up, John. That, you know, the enemy, they got to this guy. They got to this guy with threats on his family and that. And it's our prayer. You mentioned it Wednesday night, John. That note. I don't think we have time to go through it. But that article about. The man that was a Satanist that said he could tell the neighborhoods that prayed because he had no power there. He could see in the spirit that it was like the people were holding hands like a chain that he couldn't break through. And I believe that fully. But so what'll happen? So folks, pray, obey the scriptures, pray. Entreaties, petitions at all times in the spirit. That is what we are told to do, and that is what we can do. We might not, you know, we have to do what we can. You know, first and foremost, do what you can. You can do that. You can. So do that as a start, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you further.
You better invite people to church.
Well, that'll be in the morning, starting at 8:30 Mountain. 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. We do invite you to the LaPorte Church of Christ. We've got some people visiting. I don't think tomorrow, but I think next might be tomorrow, either tomorrow or next Sunday. And but you can join us. You don't have to drive to LaPorte. You can join us at scriptures4america.org is the website. Just click on the live video stream, and we'll be there in the morning, good Lord willing, and have it fired up. And you know, we get asked many times, oh, is there a church in my area? Is this? Don't know of a lot of them. But you can join us. You cannot forsake the assembly by joining us at church. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. Review of the news. We'll have some timeless pulpit truths, prophetic teachings that we may see. Might have been preached years ago, but they are coming true today. And we see that. And John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow. I know you are as well, and we'll have some music for you, and we'll have communion. We'll have that opportunity for us to take a minute and examine ourselves, as the Bible says, to examine ourselves, not to look at each other and say, you know, Tim, I need to talk to you about this. No, that's not what we're doing. We get together, and we look in the mirror. We examine ourselves, and we remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us, that price He paid. You know, I thought about that when you mentioned going to that veteran's home, or, Jason, is that many times we forget the price that's been paid that allows us to be here. That price paid by those veterans and that price paid by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we remember, we take the time to remember about that. So we encourage you to come join us for that as well. Guys, we are out of time. Thanks so much, Tim, for joining us. And men,
thank
and
you.
We'll see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting
be waiting at the end of our ride.